How could someone simply saying hi make you immediately like them?
It's a tough one. I don't know if I could describe myself on camera. I'm self-proclaiming myself as the best rapper in Louisville right now, right here.
TikTok took it up a notch.
Oh, this Jack Harlow shit kind of hard.
Do I see a name? I'm like, oh,
Jack Harlow does mention my name in the song.
This new Jack Harlow song.
It's currently going viral right now.
And I can push you up.
The upcoming remake of White Man Can't Jump already been nominated for 3 Grammys.
Here it is, Jack Harlow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Harlow.
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Jack Harlow, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you.
I am so happy you made it from Vegas.
Me too.
That was like a close call.
Couldn't wait to get out of there.
Just like not the vibe to be in Vegas all the time.
Shit, it's not the vibe anytime, but
were you there for 24 hours?
I was there for business, yeah.
Business, you know. No pleasure.
I take pleasure in business sometimes, mm-hmm. But yeah, I know what you're asking me. Nah.
No, you didn't meet any ladies.
I didn't spend any money, no.
Okay, good to know. I want to go back to the beginning because I'm like, already you sitting in this chair, Jack, the ladies are blushing. They're happy, they're cozy, they're like, oh, Jack's here. They all have a crush. But today we're going to make them really fall in love, I can tell. Okay, so we need to get to know you, okay? So we're going to go back to the very beginning. You grew up in Kentucky, born and raised.
That's right.
You just moved back.
Yeah.
Tell me, why is your hometown so... Why are you looking at me?
Nah, just excited.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy Gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me and I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself and it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy. I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda.
Talk to me about your hometown and what it means to you.
Gosh, where do I start? Growing up listening to rap music, you would hear artists talk about the cities they were from and just lift them up. And I was just like, damn, like Louisville needs that. And so it became a priority to me.
Yeah.
And I love where I'm from. I just love it. I love it. That's why I'm there. It just makes me happy. And I think it's like, it's slow and it's laid back.
A little different than LA.
Yes, very, just very, little. Very.
Is it okay? You just said like you kind of like roll it off the tongue. You're like Louisville. Is it Louisville?
You almost got it. You almost got it. I'd say locally, it's the Ville is more Vol.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah. It kind of just like in the throat. You're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah, it just it's slides not out. Louisville. It's buttery. It's syrupy.
Yeah. But like if you hear people say Louisville, do you give a shit?
Well, not deeply. Mm-hmm. And I'm beyond my like correcting it stage.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not tasteful, but you peep it, you notice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because my friends both went to college there, like my good friends. And then when I went for a wedding last year, I was trying to suss out the vibe because I was like, I want to say Louisville, but like I was trying to not like embarrass myself. So I just said Louisville. But then you just said I said it right. So I'm going to just keep saying Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah, you're there. You're there.
What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about Kentucky?
It's a good question. It's really good. I see why you're in the position you're in. You know what to do.
I'm just getting started.
You know what to do. Trust me, I believe it. Well, I'll tell you specifically, the city I'm from feels very misunderstood, I think, in terms of like a national identity, because Kentucky's so dominantly rural. And Louisville is like a full-blown city, like with a downtown, tall buildings, like hundreds of thousands of people live there. So I think we feel a little misunderstood for that reason. So Louisville specifically, there's some misconceptions. I don't want to speak for the whole state, but there's always more than meets the eye.
Yeah, there is. Like you. What were you like as a kid?
I wasn't allowed to play video games when I was really young, so I read a lot.
What'd you read?
Novels on novels. I was really into Harry Potter. I just read. I remember there was this series. I'm glad you asked, so I have a chance to shout it out. It's called Warriors. It was about these cats that lived in clans and tribes, and it just had me fucking hooked. I was just, yeah, I was deep in it. So, I just loved books. I don't know if I would be able to do what I was doing without the literature in my early life. When I heard hip hop for the first time, I was like, shit, this rhythm mixed with expressing myself was just.
I didn't realize you were a Harry Potter stan. Can we talk about that for a second?
Well, I'm not a stan, but yes.
Then what the fuck are you?
Fuck it, I'm a stan. Come on, let's go.
Oh, you're like easily persuaded.
I'm easy, yeah.
You're easy. Peer pressure, let's go, Jack. Yeah. The whole time. Easily, I'm very influenced,
yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Of the Harry Potters?
Yeah.
The characters?
Yeah.
Who was that Asian girl he was fucking with?
She was like there for a second.
She had me weak. I can't lie. She had me open reading that shit. The details. J.K. Rowling used to bring it. I was in there, 9 years old, pants tightening up. I'm like, what the fuck is happening to me?
Do you think the first time you jerked off was when you were like at like the 16th chapter and you were like, all right, I got to put the book down. I'm getting hard.
Nah, I know what the first time I beat my dick was.
Share with the class, Jack.
Obviously. Damn, I just realized I've been waiting for a chance. Just right up to Jimmy Fallon, ain't want to talk about it.
No,
so.
No one wants to talk about that shit. They'll bleep it out. They'll cut.
But
the
somehow
whole thing
you're out. This is right up your alley.
This will be the whole promo. This will be it.
I just remember. I remember first time I tried to go there. It rose and it was like the feeling was so unfamiliar to me that I got all the way to near climax and stopped. I think I was 12 years old in middle school and I just stopped because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen if this busts. And so I went to sleep. I just went to sleep. And the next night I'm like, fuck it, I'm going all the way. And I became an ocean. But
do you remember that feeling? Like, what did you think to yourself?
I thought, God damn, I get it. This shit's all right.
I love how you gave yourself blue balls for like the first time. You're like,
I was terrified. I didn't know because it just was rising and rising and rising. I'm like, where are we going?
Great feeling. You said that you weren't allowed to play video games. What was your house like growing up? Like, what was the dynamic? Who's in your house? What's going on?
My two parents who love each other deeply to this day, and my little brother.
Oh, nice.
I owe a lot to my parents. I got good parents.
You do.
Yeah.
And they're still together.
They are. Deeply in love.
Wow. So are you kind of like a romantic guy?
You know, I was for a while.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. I'm just deeply in my batch, in my batch stage right now. Like, not that I'm not like necessarily cutthroat. Mm-hmm. I think when I was 21, I just seeked so much validation, and it gave me such a rush to make a girl feel special. And it was almost like, well, how many can I make feel special? Just to be honest. And I think I didn't want to sleep by myself. Like, I need, and if I was, I wanted to get on FaceTime with someone and fall asleep on mm-hmm. FaceTime. And something shifted where I want my space more than ever. And I'm as transparent as I've ever been. And I'm just tell it what it is. And I'm not worried. If it's not right for the other person, it's like, let's keep moving.
Yeah. Peace out.
So it's a different stage. I think something in the last like 12 months, probably uh-huh. something shifted.
I think I know it shifted, but we'll get there. Okay, so
can't wait to hear your diagnosis.
Yeah, don't worry. We're going full diagnosis. This is a therapy session, just so you know. Yeah. Are you in therapy?
I am.
Okay, good. Well, this is an extended version.
Good.
You can tell your therapist, we don't need our session this week. I sit down with Alex.
Yeah, it's already canceled.
You said that you were like, you were looking for validation. Talk to me about what you were like in high school. Did you get the girls? Were you a loser? Were you bullied? Were you the bully? What was going on?
I could always get the girl I wanted. It's not like I was like, I didn't have my way across the board, but I could get the cute girl.
Okay.
I could get the cute girl. I was well liked in high school.
What were your friends like? I feel like that kind of like, were you like an athlete guy? Were you a like chess player? Were you in the book club?
I started making music so early that the rapper category kind of got stamped on me really early. So I would pass out CDs in school, and everyone knew I was chasing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in sort of my own category. Even locally, I experienced a taste of fame from the age of like 14 on, because I would go out in public and people would stop me and ask me for pictures just at other schools. So it was unique. It was unique.
I feel like I know, fuck, what was his name? Was it like Sammy? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Sammy Adams.
Sammy Adams from
yeah.
Philly.
Yeah.
And I remember, I know what you're talking about, of like, I feel like a lot of high
school. I opened for Sammy Adams when I was 18 years old.
Shut the fuck up.
I was 18 years old. No one was there to see me.
Aww.
I was playing for his crowds. It was fun. It's rite of passage.
Right.
First tour I ever went on, like 4 dates on the East Coast. We drove ourselves out there. No one with us, just me, my DJ, and 2 of my friends. And we drove from every venue, and we opened up to a bunch of people staring at us like, who the fuck is this? Like, can Samuel please come out here? Like, fuck.
Samuel.
This chat kid does not do it for me. And I was like, you know, no beard, glasses still on, like, oh. Didn't know how to cut my hair. Like, it was raw. It was a very raw time, but it was character building.
That's kind of funny, the juxtaposition of, like, you being a rapper and then having, like, your glasses and, like, maybe not, like, looking the part.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I really was, like, banking on that juxtaposition. I think I was like, ooh, this shock value is going to be what does it for me. And then I think I got to a point where I took the glasses off and, like, started, like, tending to how I looked, became slightly more vain, and I was like, I like looking in the mirror and being pleased. I don't really want to be tethered to these glasses, so that's how the shift came about. Yeah.
Were people in your hometown, like, I feel like sometimes people are assholes at that age, being like, you're a fucking loser, stop trying to make it. Were people around you supportive, or were they like, you're dumb, move on?
It was split. It was polarizing for people. It was very divisive. Like, people either thought it was super tight that I was doing that, or they thought, like, from a distance, they never would say it to me. I wasn't stuffing the locker material. I was, you know, I was walking through that motherfucker with broad shoulders. Like, I wasn't the high school quarterback, but, like, nobody was fucking talking right. to me, you know. But there were people that definitely thought it was lame yeah. and would shit on me. And I would hear from other schools that people thought it was lame. Like, oh, you fuck with that kid? That shit's terrible. So it was split.
You know what's funny is, like, just so anyone listening, the ladies, like, I think there's something on Google, because I was going to give you merch. And I was like, oh, like, I remember I met him at SNL, and, like, he's taller than I expected.
Mm.
And online, there's something of, like, he's either 5'8", or he's, like, 6'2". And there's like a misconception. And I think like people think you're shorter than you are. So I'm here to say you're pretty tall.
Thank you.
So yeah, you weren't getting stuffed into lockers.
Thank you for that too.
You wouldn't have fit.
That's right.
How would your teachers have described you back then?
If they were British, they would have said cheeky. I was well liked by my teachers, but I was not focused on school at all.
Good grades, bad grades?
Poor.
Poor.
Mediocre.
Like D's or C's?
C's and D's. Mm. Not failing. Getting through, but like not focused. Mm. Cheating endlessly.
Oh. You know, it's a skill.
Fuck. The thing is, at the beginning of high school, we signed like a... did y'all have to do that? We signed like an oath. I was like, fuck, man. They could take me to court because I didn't earn my shit. I'll tell you what.
How far would you go to cheat? Like, did you have any, like, tricks?
I had tricks.
Share the tricks. Now you're not in school.
Trust me, I had tricks.
Okay.
I had tricks. I was just in with the smart girls in the classes. I was in with them. Mm-hmm. You could send picture messages when I was in high school. Like, you know, obviously I didn't grow up in the 60s, so not joking. But if I had a vibe with a girl, she was coming through with 11 attachments. I'm like, she would bless me, and I'd be like, I owe you. I'm going to take care of you soon. Because that is a love language right there, ain't it?
Baby, you helped me cheat.
Right. Oh.
And you will
How
get...
intimate is that though? How intimate is that? Oh. That is special. And I used to just put my arm around like, you held me down. Like, oh, I owe you. I don't know what I owe you, but I owe you something. We're gonna figure it out.
It was the attention what you gave them, or did you ever hook up with anyone that helped you cheat?
I'm sure I did, but I don't think it was, I don't know if it was a direct like debt exchange when
I did it.
But coincidentally I may have, but it was love. I always had a lot of homegirls, like,
okay,
that it didn't have to go anywhere. It's just, there's nothing like the company of a woman. I know I'm in the right arena to be saying that, but I deeply believe that. Like, it's like, it's so relaxed.
It is.
Yeah,
we're pretty great.
Yeah,
but what I can imagine is, like, did you have a girlfriend in high school ever?
I did for a portion of it.
How did that go over with her, of you having all these lady friends?
Well, she's at another school. let me chill.
I
let
feel like
chill.
you played a lot of games back in the day.
It didn't feel like it. I just was me. I just like to have friends.
You like to have friends with vaginas.
It's like I want to move on because somehow the wounds seem fresh no matter how long ago it was. It's just like, yo, let's chill.
We're literally talking about high school and middle school. He's like, oh.
It's like, yo, like, she going to hear this.
How many girlfriends did you have in high school?
I had one.
How long?
A year.
Ooh.
I was on the same shit I'm on now then. I'm, you know, playing the field, you know, chilling, seeing what's going on.
Oh, assessing the situation. Yeah.
You are funny.
Okay, we're moving on. What was the major turning point in your career, if you had to say, like, one big moment where you're like, oh, people fucking know me now?
I mean, What's Popping was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
There was little steps up till then. Like, there's a lot of people that approached me and tell me at different times in the late 2010s they became aware of me, like, had these records that would go viral on Twitter from like 2017, 2018, 2019. So it was building. And then it took this big jump with What's Popping. And I remember pulling up at a red light and the person next to me looking over and being like, and that was when I was like, oh, okay. It's
here we go.
Just, I'm out in public. I'm not in my hometown and people are stopping me. So
that must be so crazy. Like, now understanding that you always kind of were like recognizable in Kentucky, but then to go somewhere else and be like, oh, fuck, I think I'm, like, famous now. How do you handle that? Do you like it?
It's very validating. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially overseas. Like, walking through New Zealand and Australia and people know, it's like, you feel, that's one of those moments where you take that time to pat yourself on the back. So, it feels really good. It feels good.
Do you like the New Zealand women?
Yeah.
What country have you, like, maybe liked the most of the ladies? Who shows you the most love outside of the U.S.?
I really like London. Those women know how to talk. You know what I mean? They know how to talk.
You like a woman that talks a lot?
Yeah, and I like, well, yeah. You spun that a certain way.
Yeah, not yeah. too much. Shut the fuck up. But to
you,
a point.
Hey, you, let me tell you something. You are funny. You are funny.
You're kind of funny, too.
I mean, I assumed you were.
Yeah.
But this is proof right here.
Okay, thanks.
I just think the women over there have a certain wit. And mm-hmm. a certain, mm-hmm. you know, they just are.
Cheeky.
They're cheeky. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they read a lot of books growing up.
You like a strong, confident, smart woman.
All those sound good.
What's your type?
I just like sweethearts, man. I like sweet-ass girls. I like sweet-ass girls.
So if a girl's playing a game with you, are you like, no? Like, do you like a girl that's like, hi, Jack, like, I like you? Or are you saying just, like, sweet, nice-hearted, but, like, maybe they can kind of get
I'm not
it
saying
you?
A girl has to, like, be a pushover or let me mm-hmm. walk all over her. That's not what I mean by sweet. I just mean that I don't like mean-spirited energy.
Yeah.
At all, and I don't like toxicity. I don't that's not one of my fetishes, and I know that's going right now. There's a lot of guys that are into that.
They love it.
I have no patience for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you asked about games. I don't want to play any game. I just want to enjoy, and that's right now. Yeah. That's who I am right now.
Yeah.
If you ask me this when I turn 30, who knows?
Maybe you're playing the games at 30.
Hopefully not.
Maybe you're stirring up the toxic.
There's no telling. I'm just saying there it may shift from sweet to like, yo, I need a woman that is. That challenges the fuck out of me and is at this level, is above me, this and that. It's like, it's just yeah. where I am right now.
Like, maybe you want a woman that's like making the bread.
I mean, it doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. You mentioned when you were talking about vulnerability, I'm like, what's your biggest insecurity when you were younger? And like, do you still feel that way?
I think when I was really young, my teeth were mm-hmm. pre-braces. My teeth made it, you know, when you're like 8 years old and your teeth are fucked.
Me too.
It's a common one. Mm-hmm. That was one.
Did you get braces where, like, you would, like, decorate with the colors on the little...
I think I had some blue shit going on.
But, like, Halloween time, you didn't do, like, black and orange?
No, but you did.
I did, and it was, like, disgusting. Like, I look back, and I'm like, it looks like there's, like, carrots and black beans in my teeth.
It don't matter, then.
But no one totally wanted
see
that.
I could totally see you at 11 years old.
Oh, my God, I had two big front teeth, and no one wanted to finger me. No one wanted to touch me, Doc. I was always the girl, like, never on the top five.
Never getting fingered.
Never.
Damn, damn, damn. I got the craziest story about fingering.
Okay, sure.
I low-key wanted to take this shit to NBC, but we're here. You already brought up fingering. I just want to tell you about a pregnancy scare I had.
Okay, here we go.
In middle school.
Okay, here we go.
So, I had this chick I was messing with, seventh or eighth grade, I think eighth grade. And she was touching me, I was touching her, and a little bit of pre-cum, like, got on her hands and my hands. And you know about pre-cum, so. So then I fingered my girlfriend in middle school. And the next day she hit me and she's like, yo, I think I missed my period. And I'm like, now hold on. And I my mind starts racing, thinking about it all. And we meet up at the buses, and I'm like, you know, I had pre-cum on my fingers when I was touching you. I don't know if, do you think? And she was like, and then days went by. I remember it so vividly. She texted me. I asked her, I'm like, did you get it? And she's like, I still didn't get it. My period. And thunder struck outside my window. Thunderstruck, and I was like, fuck. And I was so convinced this girl was pregnant, and I couldn't tell anybody. I had nobody to talk to.
You're like, we're having a baby.
Like, my parents, I couldn't have told them I even fingered somebody, because it was like, what the fuck are you doing fingering somebody? And
little
so,
do you know, if you told your parents, they'd be like, let us teach you a little thing about sex.
It would have been such a relief. So it's my birthday weekend, ruining my 12th or 13th birthday.
Oh.
And I remember being at school, and I just, like, lean against the wall in the hallway as everyone's going into class, and I just slide down the wall and put my head in my hands and start bawling. Like, I start fucking crying because I'm so convinced I just got a girl pregnant and just ruined everything. And it was just dark, dark, dark. And then after school, I just was, like, down in the dumps. I couldn't tell anyone why. And then she came to me, and she's like, I got my period. And I was so relieved. So relieved. But that was one of my first tastes of like grown up anxiety.
Did you use condoms ever since?
Yes. On my fingers too.
Wrap that shit up.
You know it.
Every time you have sex, you use a condom.
Yeah. And everyone should.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had sex without a condom?
I've always wanted to.
You think you'll ever give it a go?
Maybe after marriage.
Oh, you'll let it go raw.
Yeah.
What do you think it will feel like?
I lost my virginity raw, actually.
What the fuck?
And goddamn, it was in that moment, I was like, oh, shit. Because it had taken me and her weeks to get it in because I didn't know you had to wet it up. So I was putting dry on dry. I was putting a dry dick against a dry. And
like,
I was like,
this shit's huge.
I'm like, this motherfucker won't go. And then I just,
you spit know, it I
spit on it. And suddenly, and then it just fell in. And I was like, I remember I was in that motherfucker. I looked down there. I was like, oh, we going to be here for a minute if I'm lucky. And I started, woo,
wiggle.
And then 45 seconds later, it's over.
We gone.
I was like, I'm about to. But it's so funny. It's so stupid, but it is an amazing moment when you first feel that. And it's good. It's mm-hmm. I know they teach us around that time you're getting all this promotion, all this propaganda. Put a condom on. In my head, I'm like, all right. Like, come on, like, I'm going to. But on my first go, I'm not gonna have a barrier between me and that motherfucker.
So, I wanna feel that shit.
Thank God I did, because I was like, this is why, this is humanity. I felt humanity in one stroke. I felt the cause of humanity in one stroke.
We know you love Dua Lipa. Mm. What other celebrities are you crushing on?
There's someone, but I don't think it's mutual, so.
Oh.
I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah, but like, what if you like put it out into the world and it like.
And it's not time yet.
It's not time. It's Can you not give time us a yet. Hint?
She's beautiful.
Well, fucking obviously.
Well, there's only a few that are. No, I'm joking.
You're doing great.
What does it say?
Just in case you were doubting yourself.
About this interview?
Yeah, you're doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
I like your purple pants, your pink outfit. It goes. Did you match it to the studio, or just that happen chance? Like it didn't.
I didn't match it to the studio, but there was something about the fit that felt appropriate.
You kind of look like you're the host of this show. You fit more into this room than me.
At the moment, but you run this shit. Let's be fucking honest. The fuck? But I'll tell you, I'll give you some.
Okay.
I like a girl next door anyway.
Hmm.
So I don't need any internet presence. I like me a librarian.
Hmm.
I like a waitress.
Would you like a nurse?
You don't know me. You don't know me. You must not know.
What?
I've written a song about nurses.
Wait, really?
Girls wear scrubs in my shows. And I'm not being funny.
Okay, let's role play. You're trying to impress me. You're taking me on a date.
Yeah.
Walk me through what we're doing, where we're going, what's the vibe?
I really like going to dinner. And obviously that's not revolutionary, but that's just one of my favorite pastimes. Honestly, I love going out to dinner with or without a girl. Like, I just love it. I think I would just set up a plan and just mm-hmm. tell you what it is and we run it. I don't know. I'm not the most extravagant, mm-hmm. but I like to be somewhere quiet. I don't want music blaring. I don't want to be yelling over something. I want to be with you in a dark corner in a booth, and I want us to be able to get as close as we want to get and, you know, exchange smiles, whisper in each other's ear, like true intimacy. That's like, if I really want to go on a date with a girl, I don't want to go to a movie. I don't want to go do an activity. I want to be how you and I are right now, but there ain't no marble table between us. Like, I want to be on each other.
When was your last serious relationship?
Sometime in the last couple years.
How long did it last?
A couple years.
Have you ever been in love?
I'd like to think so.
How many times?
Potentially once. Well, I hear people describe love and I'm like, God damn, like, that is something. That is something. But I don't know if I've been intoxicated. Like, I felt deep infatuation. Mm-hmm. But I've been in love with someone once. I've been in love with someone and loved someone. And I felt that. But I don't know if I felt the highest heights I've seen other people go. I've seen people just lose themselves in it. And yeah. It's like, it's not a criticism of it. I'm more just like, wow, like, that is a deep rush. Like, I ain't never
had that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I bet you will one day.
Thank you.
And then I think maybe you'll say, ooh, like, now I'm really in love.
Well, that's how it seems to go, right? I mean, my high school mm-hmm. girlfriend, like, there might have been a sense of, like, ooh, we're in love. And then you have another one after that. And you're like, no, this is it. And then you have another.
Yeah. But don't you, that maybe is just also life. Like, maybe you're not capable in high school. Like, you actually were in that moment in love of what you were capable of. Yeah,
and you just keep dialing in your preferences. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you're with somebody that fits where you're at right then. Right. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is what the fuck I've been looking for.
Yeah. A brunette that's sweet in a nurse outfit, done.
Oh, you just gave me chills. What the fuck?
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Daddy gang, what are your plans for the summer? I want to probably sign up for a couple excursions with mats, really put myself out there, do something I don't usually do. But when you want something, you got to just go for it. And that applies when you're hiring for your business. ZipRecruiter can help you snag the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter, Daddy Gang, and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Something that really grinds my gears is I somehow will find myself just subscribing to things, right? And then all of a sudden, I see I have been paying this subscription service and I don't even use it because I just forgot to cancel it. Rocket Money can help you cancel a subscription that would otherwise be more time consuming and also you probably forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddy. That's rocketmoney.com/daddy. rocketmoney.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of La Vida Más Fina, aka The Fine Life. If there is one thing the Daddy Gang knows how to do, it's live the fine life. I'm talking rooftop parties in the city, weekend getaways, long summer lunches that stretch from midday till the sun goes down. Corona brings relaxing, refreshing vibes to every occasion. Get yours today at ordercorona.com. Drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
I want to discuss some of your song lyrics. You say, I'm vanilla, baby. I'll choke you, but I ain't no killer, baby.
Mm. You're smacking the delivery.
On a scale of vanilla to kinky, where are you at in your sex game?
Five. Weak ass answer, right?
Come on.
Well, it's just like, I have, I have my kinks. I can't front. But I also, if you ask the woman I'm with, it's like, they're like, God damn, I wish I could get this guy to just fucking arch his back on top. I'm like, I'm not arching my back. You're not putting nothing in my ass. Like, I'm sorry. It's me. It's me. It's just, so everybody's got their thing, but I had to be coaxed. I had to be taught. I had to learn. I had to learn how to talk.
During sex.
Yes.
You were a mute. Learn.
Well, when I was 19, yeah, I was just like, I was a breather. But I started to figure that out. And so, you know, people ask for what they want. And you're like, some of it, you're like, okay, this is actually turning me up. But then some of it, like the lyric in the song, is like, I'll do that for you. Uh-huh. But it's not making my dick harder. Mm-hmm. But I know it's not about me in that moment.
Can you help me understand? We got vanilla and we got kinky, and you're in the middle. So I'm going to say something to you, and you're going to tell me if it's vanilla or kinky.
Okay.
Missionary sex.
The best. As good as it gets. It's that corner booth in sex form, ain't it?
Don't you think sometimes people think missionary would be vanilla? But if you do it the right way.
I know they think it is. It's fine with me. Mm-hmm. That's how we got going, though. That's how the Homo erectus was. Like, that's default. Like, let's just face facts. It's default. Mm-hmm. We've been over-sexualized as a culture, and motherfuckers don't want to look each other in the eye anymore and put their nose on each other's nose and put their tongue down each other's throats while they're getting strokes. Like, come on. Like, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. And everybody has their own preferences. That's fine. It's not objective, but it feels pretty close to objective. Like, what? You can get in there. Like,
yeah.
In there.
But I think some people really don't want to look at each other because they're like, I fucking hate you, but just let's fuck. But you're not like that. You're making sweet love.
Typically. Every once in a while, you got to roll a motherfucker over. But yeah.
What is your favorite sex position?
We just spent the last 10 minutes
That is it? If I didn't ask you.
You don't know what they call me? No. Wow.
What do they call you?
You know I make music, right? Fuck off. MJ. MJ.
No, they don't. You call yourself that.
Nah, that's... I don't know why. I got that nickname as a young child. My grandmother called me that at 2 years old. Missionary Jack.
Why?
I was 2 years old. My grandma... You know that Simba had that shit?
Yeah.
She wiped some of that shit on my head. She's like, he's gonna love missionary.
What do you think about whips and chains? Obviously, it's in your song.
I like no whips and chains, but you can hold me down.
It's a no-go.
I'm vanilla, baby. I choke you.
I love your takes on my voice. She's 28 telling me I'm still a baby. No, I don't like whips and chains. I don't want to be tired.
Sucking her toes.
Whose?
The girl you're hooking up with. If she said, Jack...
It would take the right woman. There's someone that could bring it out of me, though. I know it.
Maybe it's the person earlier that you said you didn't want to say it. But
perhaps.
Yep. Sexting.
Crucial.
Hot take. Are you the guy that's sending paragraphs?
Oh, the romance novels?
Are you putting like...
Then I bend you over and breathe in your ear. Like, nah.
Furthermore, we move forward.
I do a lot of... I just like to read with my left hand. Just gonna keep going. Keep going. That too? All right. I like quick fire. And that's how I text. I like to send 8 words, 6 words, 5 words, one after another. Mm-hmm. So I'll send somebody 13 texts in a row.
I just hate when I read the paragraph if a man has ever sexted me and it's like first and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. It's like then moving forward it go, and you're like, let's just.
Yeah, I mean, that'll make you soft. I can't lie. Once they go like that, you're like, yeah, that's a good effort.
My next question was a finger in the butthole.
I don't want nothing in my ass, but I don't mind somebody. You know, sifting. Credit carding, you know what I'm saying? That's very intimate. I like being a little spoon anyway, so I don't mind somebody scratching my back and then saying, la da da, la da dee.
What about a little lick?
I can fuck with that. I can get cleaned up. I see why you run this shit. You are funny.
I feel like your DMs are gonna be scary after this episode. Daddy Gang goes hard.
Girls, listen to this.
Only a few.
I'm just joking.
Well, how do you feel about hand jobs?
Traumatized. I mean, my first pregnancy almost came from one. So, I remember I used to love me a hand job.
Really?
And I'm a fan. It has to be moisturized, but
yeah,
I like it. But I just remember that girlfriend I had. She used to stand in front of me at events and she would just work my shit over my jeans. I swear, I'd look at that motherfucker later. That bitch was bruised, but at the moment it was like, over the jeans,
you over know, the pants,
just
hand
working
job.
My shit. I'm leaving there. Oh, yeah.
I've never given one of those. Do you suggest?
It's too late for you.
it's too late for you now.
You passed that period.
What's your best skill in the bedroom?
R&D. Rhythm and dialogue. Rhythm and dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Rhythm. Underrated.
Just like me. Misunderstood too.
Do you think you're misunderstood?
I guess I just feel like I wish I fit in. I don't know.
What are you saying in the bedroom? What are you doing over there? Are you now after you went through your breathing phase? Because that's like.
Because now I don't breathe.
There is.
I had work to be done and.
Yeah.
Met somebody older than me, and so I think it just turned my dialogue up.
They said, let me teach you.
Yeah, and it got out of it. It just became very like, express what you feel right now. Just express it. You don't need no lines you wrote earlier. Say what you feel right this moment. So to anyone watching out there, that's what I recommend. Literally, stream of consciousness is the best thing you can do. Like, what are you feeling against your flesh right now? Describe it. If you can vividly describe it, talk about it, talk about how you feel about it, what you want for them. Mm-hmm.
Say it. Let it be known. Literature. Are you good at detecting if a woman is faking an orgasm?
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
So sad. So many women have probably faked it.
You're awesome.
Like, think about all the women.
I mean, surely. Don't want to go to dinner later. So.
For sure, because you're going to pay and, like, yeah, you know on. What it is. Come on. They it want up. The Uber ride home.
Fake it up. Come on.
Let's talk about your new single. It is really good.
Thank you.
It's like,
it's nice to see you say something so earnest. I know it was hard for you. I know you're switching right back into character here shortly, but that moment meant a lot to me.
It is really good.
Thank you.
It's so catchy. It's the Jack Harlow we know and love. And I think it must. Can you talk to me, though, how it must feel like when you see it's like so popular right now, trending on, as we know, TikTok is so important right now for like music also.
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like when you wake up and you're like, everyone's making a fucking TikTok about my song?
Impact is always so validating. And I dropped an album earlier this year called Jackman that I would say like wasn't even in the TikTok universe. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's people on TikTok because so many people are on there that mm-hmm. took it in, but it wasn't a TikTok moment the way this has been or First Class has been. And that album meant the world to me, and it was extremely introspective and personal, and I love it. It might be my best work thus far. And then to pivot back into something that is high octane, just fun, and like it comes on and it's like, it's not serious, it's like, let's enjoy ourselves, feels really good. Because a lot of what I was making this year is intimate, it's for the headphones, it's personal experience. This song is like, you can feel it, you want to play it at a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that annoying though? Like, as musicians watch, it's like, it's kind of wild how influential TikTok is right now. Of like, there are people that their whole career started because they hit one beat in one song and people are like, who the fuck is this? So like, is it annoying? Do you ever have to think of like, what's going to work and like, what would maybe be better on social media?
Well, for example, like that album I put out, I didn't make a single TikTok for it because it was like, this ain't that. But this song, I knew, like, I had such a feeling about it. Like, I just want to, because I know as soon as it came on, I was playing it for people. And it just felt like something like the masses need to hear this. So, yeah. Of course, you put some thought into like, yeah, I feel like this is going to, they're going to fuck with this. But I don't know if it's annoying. I mean, it's where fucking culture is, and culture continues to move. There was something 10 years ago that was happening to the music industry that was so annoying for people. I mean, the streaming switch, there's a world of people like, oh, this is, and TikTok is a weapon. It's a vehicle. And of course there's people that are working on there, but longevity's longevity. So we're going to eventually see who translates it to something more, but it's the weapon right now.
Yeah. It's what it's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
What is your writing process like?
I like you in this bag.
You do?
I know you had this in you.
Yeah. I'm a businesswoman. Like, I respect the hustle.
I can tell. I'm joking.
We can, like, joke around.
I see how much range you got.
Thank you.
My writing process, typically I walk through life, have conversations, and I'll say something to somebody, like we're talking here, and a first line will appear to me. And I'll be like, oh, that's a good way to start a song. And I'll just write the first line down. And suddenly I'll have this collection of first lines on my notes. So then I go in the studio and a beat plays. And if I love a beat, I put it on and I start running through the first lines and saying different first lines on the beat. And one of them just will slide right into place. Like, it'll just be like, and then my song starts. It's not always what it is, but for me, that is what has happened to me so many times. It's like, I come up, and if you notice a lot of my songs, I put an emphasis on the first line. Like, I really care about the first thing you hear. Being like, okay, here we go. And like Tyler Hero, for me, the ones that hate me the most look just like me. Like, that was something I just had been wanting to say, and you're just waiting for a beat to place it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And then you take the other ones and hold them until you find another beat for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something. And then you have the occasion, like on Lovin' On Me, Vanilla Baby was, I heard the beat and he was talking about, I don't like no whips and chains. And I was like, okay, I get the subject matter. And the first thing I thought of was like, Vanilla Baby. And you just mumble something out and you're like, okay, I'm in a groove. Let me lay this down. So sometimes the beat dictates it. You just get a feeling.
That's so crazy. So do you a lot of times go in there and since you're recording, like you'll just say a bunch of random shit that will stick and then you can listen back and be like, oh, I liked what I said.
It's like, it gets too messy for me.
Yeah.
And then you end up loving how you did something and you compromise. You write a weak line just because you want that bounce. Mm. So I prefer to have the words written before I go in the booth.
Yep.
And a lot of my songs are one take, like first time I laid it down because it was practiced before I got in there.
Yeah. How long? So it doesn't take you that long to record a song.
Depends. If it's going, most good songs don't take long because you're not getting in the way of, there's no self-doubt flooding it. Like, it's just flowing. And whatever's sending it down to you, you're vomiting it out instead of like, oh, I shouldn't say that. Oh, they're not going to like that. Oh, they're going to like this. That's when you get stuck and you only have three lines and it's been 2 hours.
Yeah.
But when it's going, it's just, wow. It's you can't stop it.
What is it like when you go into the studio? I feel like so many people have like a certain vibe they need. Like, are you... Do you have a lot of people in the studio? Do you have no one? Do you set a vibe? Do you like candles? Do you need certain snacks? Like, what's your...
I used to want to be alone. I didn't want people in there. I thought, I don't want to be judged.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be myself. And I actually realized what brings me out is an audience. Mm-hmm. Someone to impress. Oh. Whether that's the producers in the room. Maybe I invite a girl through. And you just activate your swag a little bit because you want to walk out of the booth and have those two people, those four people be like, yo, you fucking.
You
crushed. Yeah. Because they're a crowd of 10,000 people in that moment.
Right.
So if you have someone to impress, it goes a really long way. I'm always impressed by people that can, like, I can write really intimate, introspective stuff alone because I'm alone.
Yeah.
But to make bangers, like, where I'm popping shit and it's compelling and has conviction, I need an audience.
That's I could see that. Like, you almost start to flex a little bit more and, like, you'll go for stuff more.
You posture and yeah. You're, like, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to impress the person in the room. And oftentimes they made the beat. And so it's this exchange. Right. They play you the beat and they're like, you got to fuck this up. And you're like, I'm about to fuck this up for you. And you go in there and you lay something, you come out, y'all both listen to it and you start. And it's like, it's euphoric. All you want in that, because there's no one else there. All right. You want in that moment is the people you're with to be like, you killed that.
Right, that's fire.
You might write based on who's there because you know they'll like if I do this.
I'm so happy for you. I feel like why I love doing this is because, like, as much as we joke, like, getting to know you, being younger, running through the streets, like, giving your mixtapes out, handing people CDs, like, it's cool to see someone that always knew what they wanted to do and then doing it, even if you don't have, like, the biggest stage and, like, still running with it, and then to get to where you are now and seeing your success, like,
thank you,
congratulations, it's really cool.
You strike me as somebody that's very driven and knows what they want to, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. What should fans expect to see from you next?
I'm active. I'm feeling good. I can't lie. I'm ready to keep coming. I ain't going on hiatus. I'll say that.
Uh-huh. More coming.
Oh, yeah.
I think we want that.
I'm hungry.
I know we want that.
I'm hungry. I'm very hungry.
I can tell.
I have a chip on my shoulder.
And you should keep it that way.
I will. For as long as I can, it's going to be sitting there.
I'm really excited to see what comes next for your career. This new song is amazing. Obviously, we all want another album, tours, all the good things. But for now, we will take the song, and I love it.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you.
It's such a vibe. I've been listening to it like an annoying amount.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I need.
Jack, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. I'm not just saying that.
It's fun, right?
It's been fun. Thank you. Thank you for taking it easy on me, low-key.
You didn't really give me a choice, but I didn't want to like disrespect you and like push you too much.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on Call Her Daddy.
Thanks for having me.
We did it.
We did it.
That wasn't that bad, right?
That was wonderful.
That was fun.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.
Okay, real talk for a second, Daddy Gang. Sex is great. We know that, okay? But sex isn't always perfect. And if you have unprotected sex, you have the power to choose what's right for you in that moment. If not getting pregnant is the goal, Plan B emergency contraception is a great backup plan. Because listen, getting wild in the bedroom can be fun, but feeling out of control afterwards, not so fun. With Plan B, you can take control of your body and your future whenever you need a backup plan. It's important to remember to take Plan B as directed within 72 hours after unprotected sex, and keep in mind that the sooner you take it, the better it works. With Plan B, you've got this, and I've got you, Daddy Gang. With a special $10 coupon for your next Plan B, visit planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. That's planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy Gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing. We're all sobbing and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days, daddy gang. Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And daddy gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes, and smell is to die for. Okay, I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come out to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God, what is that in your hair? So daddy gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit mondayhaircare.com to find a stockist near you.